I invite Baruch to come and share our gospel reading with us.
The reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and they named him Jesus.
So this is Matthew's account of Jesus' birth. The story we know the best is the one we hear every year on Christmas Eve. That's from Luke chapter 2. Luke basically tells Mary's side of the story. But Matthew's the only gospel to tell us the backstory on Joseph. And this reading only comes up every 3 years in the lectionary cycle, so it may be less familiar. In fact, the last time we read this in this sanctuary was December of 2019. I found myself reflecting a little bit all that's happened since December of 2019. Joseph and Mary were engaged. In that day, and in parts of the Middle East still, engagement was a solemn public commitment, not just between the man and the woman, but between their families, everyone agreeing together on the marriage. In fact, when our daughter last year got engaged to her Lebanese husband, when they went to visit his parents in northern Lebanon, they went to the church for a blessing from the priest, and his family threw a party for the whole community. So everyone would have known that Joseph and Mary were engaged, that they were committed to each other, and then that they were planning and preparing and saving up for the wedding. And then in these striking words from Matthew, "She was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit," Matthew insists. She said she had done nothing wrong. She claimed this pregnancy was by the Holy Spirit. We can only imagine the family reactions and Joseph's reactions. What must Joseph have been thinking and feeling? Hurt, angry, betrayed, confused. This was the woman he'd chosen, the woman he wanted for his wife. According to Jewish law, he had the right to publicly condemn her and to call for her to be stoned to death for adultery. That would have been justified. He was caught in a dilemma with no good way out. Expose her publicly, break up privately. Either way, he lost her, he lost his plans for his future. But those were the only options he had under the law. So the text tells us that Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. He would be left with his hurt and anger and disappointment, but at least he wouldn't make things worse. Having resolved what he needed to do, Joseph finally slept. But in his sleep, the angel of God came to him. In his dream, God was able to speak to him, to break through all his ideas of what could and could not be. The angel came to offer him the impossible possibility that he could not even imagine while he had been awake. Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary for your wife, for this child is from the Holy Spirit. She will have a son. You are to name him Jesus, meaning God saves, for he will save his people from their sins. Can you imagine what Joseph felt when he woke up? It was a dream. Could he trust it? Should he trust it? Was it really from God? Mary had the concrete experience. The angel showed up in the daylight when she was awake. And Mary had the baby growing in her womb, and she knew what she had not done. Joseph just had a dream. But Joseph decided to believe in his dream. He chose to be faithful to this mysterious message that had come to him in the night. Matthew tells us that Joseph woke up and did what the angel had told him. He took Mary as his wife, and when she bore a son, he named him Jesus. God saves. Maybe Joseph realized this choice was the one his heart had wanted all along. He wanted Mary for his wife. But this choice was much more than that, because this choice required courage and conviction and faith. This required standing up to those in his own family and even in Mary's family who would judge and condemn. This meant taking on the embarrassment and shame of a wife pregnant too soon, of a child that people might always whisper about. Commentator Nanette Sawyer writes that this righteous man, as Matthew calls Joseph, chooses a kind of righteousness that would end up appearing scandalous when he chose Mary, even though she was pregnant and not by him. Joseph's dream pushed him beyond the clear rules of the law, which had no good options for his dilemma. His dream pushed him into the uncharted territory of a life of faith and love. There were other possibilities. There were God's possibilities. The possibility of believing that Mary's story was true, of trusting her word, of daring to think that God's angel might truly have spoken to her and that God's spirit had somehow made her pregnant. Joseph was called, this is the words of Mark Davis, another commentator, Joseph was called to embrace her pregnancy as an act of the Holy Spirit, which means, among other things, to follow God by not following the law. To follow God by not following the law. To follow God into uncharted terrain of faith and love. How often do we find ourselves called to follow Joseph into that kind of living? Called to choose forgiveness, to choose love over judgment, called to faith and risk instead of certainty, called to risk believing the possibilities our dreams point us toward. Joseph became a dreamer. Like that first Joseph back in Genesis, this Joseph learned to hear God's message through dreams. He had two more dreams in Matthew's gospel, one warning them to flee into Egypt to escape from King Herod's soldiers, and the second telling him when it was safe to come back to Israel, but guiding him to Nazareth, not to Judah. Joseph's dreams showed him how to protect his wife and his child, to flee as refugees, and later to return home, but go to the hill country of Galilee, far from Jerusalem. Joseph's dreams led him to follow a risky, dangerous path of love. Taking Mary as his wife and adopting Jesus as his son. I've always had a special place in my heart for Joseph since I became an adoptive parent. For me, Joseph is the patron saint of all adoptions. Adoptive parents, all families formed by adoption, and we know a lot about that here in this church family. Joseph was called to embrace that kind of family love. Love that's not about blood or genetics. Joseph learned about the love that opens your heart to someone because they need you and because you realize you need them. Joseph claimed Jesus as his own. He became Jesus bar Joseph, Jesus son of Joseph. That became his name. That was who he was. In Matthew's gospel telling, it's Joseph's family tree that makes him a son of Abraham and a son of David, that makes him legitimate to be the one to be the Messiah. Matthew goes on to claim Isaiah's prophecy about the purpose of this baby boy. Look, he quotes, a virgin, a young woman, shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Joseph discovered that God was with him in his dreams. In spite of the challenges and the dangers, Joseph learned to follow God's leading on the risky, dangerous paths of love. Writer and author Jan Richardson, in 2019, wrote about dreams as a way that God often speaks to us. She says to talk about dreaming is a way of talking about how we listen for the God who's continually trying to communicate with us, the God who desires to be in communion with us. Dreams are often how God seeks to convey the depths of God's love and the pathways along which we are being called to live out that love in the world. Advent draws us into a dreaming landscape that invites us to think about those ways that God is reaching out to us, those roads by which love might become known to us. At every season, at every turn, the Advent season proclaims love in story, in symbol, in image, in song, in all the art and all the decorations. Advent is asking us to listen, to see, to open ourselves to the path along which God both comes to us and sends us out. We begin Advent with the charge to be awake, stay alert, be watching and waiting. But as we near the end of Advent and wait in the coming darkness of Christmas Eve, the story of Joseph is also an invitation to let ourselves rest, even sleep, to let go and let God work in the world and in our hearts and in our dreams. Who knows what messenger God might send to us this Christmas? What impossible possibilities God is offering if we let ourselves dream, if we let ourselves envision. Where is God calling us to go on the risky journey of faith and love? Who might God be calling us to adopt into our lives? God's love is all around us, holding us, keeping us, and leading us forward. We can trust that love. We can live into that love. Over and over, the messengers of God say, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I am with you." The ways of love can be risky, they can be dangerous, and they can certainly be hard. But we are never alone. love holds us, embraces us, and opens us up to things we have never possibly imagined. So much love in the world, so much love. God is with us, Emmanuel.